Welcome back, viewers, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 1, Dragonstone. It's been a long time and we've got a lot to talk about, so stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
You guys are like my dysfunctional Stark family that I haven't seen in years. I love it. Oh, this is great. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kyle Maddock. I'm going to be your host for this little shindig tonight. I got this lovely wildling to my left.
Hello, I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me on all the social mediums at Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com, because my name's Dave Child.
Does the MR stand for Mister?
Yeah, it stands for Mister.
Very good. And I'm Ryan Malady. Valar Morghulis, everybody. You can find me at Ryan Malady everywhere. Thank you for coming back, Game of Thrones and all the fans. We also have someone special sitting on the couch with us. Coming into the show, Introduce yourself, Miss Chat Queen.
Hi. Yes, my name is Amber Plaster. I will be your chat maester, and I will be answering any questions or clarifying any facts that the fans have, because this chat is lit.
It's lit.
Yeah. It's so lit. Where can they find you, Amber?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster.
Awesome.
Finding her right now.
Find me.
Welcome, Amber. You're going to be with us all season, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. I'm super excited to be here.
Good to have you. Awesome, guys. It's been a long time, and this show did the thing it does at the start of every season. We just touch base with every single character. There are a lot of places to get to right now.
Yeah, we need to kill some of these guys off, I think.
Yeah, let's start killing some people. Well,
we
if we're going to start
so
with...
many. We've killed so many.
Well, if we're going to start killing people, let's start with Arya doing what she does best. There you go. We have a Walder Frey impersonator kicking this off right now. Do you guys think Walder Frey was alive for a second there, or did you know what was going on?
I thought it was a flashback. I thought it was going to be like, oh, this happened after the Red Wedding, sometime after the Red Wedding, and then we're going to find out how this is pertinent to this season. But then, whoop, surprise, Mission Impossible.
Yeah, there was that scene where he was eating by himself when Arya came to kill him. Right, in the last season.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And you're wondering, where'd everyone go? This is post-feast kind of thing. And so he's dead in this scene already, right?
He's dead.
And
she carved him up, made a pie out of him.
She invited his whole house back after that feast.
Yeah.
Because when you leave one wolf alive, the sheep are never safe.
Boom!
Man.
I love it.
What's cool, what I love about Arya's new superpower here, she's kind of like a shapeshifter now, sort of, in a way.
Yeah.
And you never know where she's going to pop up, which is going to, I feel like, create some really cool moments coming out in the show.
Well, I think when the character's lines get really intense, that's when you're going to know that she's actually that person. her lines are always, whenever she has taken on a new face, they stand out more than anything in the episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, she did a great job as Walder Frey. I mean,
it's just the makeup was so
amazing.
She really looked like Walder Frey.
She just knocked it out of the park with that one.
Amber, whenever you got something awesome over there, just feel free to.
Yeah, I have the chat pulled up now, and the chat is very excited to have the show back.
We are excited to have them back.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being with us. So yeah, let us know if you got any questions or anything while we are just talking up here. So Arya's plan, she gets everybody poisoned. She slips some poison in the wine. We found out last season with Lady Crane, the actress, that she works well with poison.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good weapon among the assassins.
Mean?
No, it just means that it is.
Poison's supposed to be the woman's weapon because it's distance. Yeah. Right, so we don't have the strength to, like, literally just beat a man to death. So we have to kill them with other things, like poison.
And your environment.
And even season one, Ned Stark said that to Maester Pycelle. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I always heard poison was a woman's weapon, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
Basically blaming Cersei for the death, which ended up being Littlefinger,
even
as it were.
Even the badass Sand Snakes who fight tooth and nail use poison, too.
Listen, guys, I have nothing against this poison.
What do you got against
women?
I mean,
be careful what you're drinking there.
I'm just saying, guys can use poison too, is what I'm saying.
I'm using poison right now.
I'm just saying.
Nice.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Also, I don't think Brienne would ever use poison.
Here.
She's too pure of heart.
She's too.
She is a unique woman, that Brienne, I tell you what. But, so we have this epic moment where she is walking out. She did not kill all the serving girls and everybody else, people who were not in on the murders and not the frays themselves.
Right.
Well, they weren't allowed the wine, so I don't know that it was up to her or not.
Well, they were going to take a sip, and she's, no, not for you.
Well, that was also...
It was a good cover. Yep.
Yeah, that was Frey's wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the lady
Which
Frey.
One?
That was right next to him.
The child next to him.
The child next to him. Wife. You got to remember that was his wife. And she was like, don't drink it.
Yeah. Don't drink it.
Save her. Yeah, very cleverly.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I don't waste wine on a woman.
So we have her walking out in this sort of epic moment. She's walking out through all the dead bodies and everything. And then we lose her for a little bit. But when we come back, we hear this beautiful angelic voice.
Yeah.
How's it go? Hands of gold.
I know, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Bring him in studio. Come on in,
Surprise.
Ed.
Ed Sheeran. I always mess up his last name. Is it Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran.
Ed
Sheeran wrote that one.
Ed Sheeran.
It's definitely Sheeran.
I thought he was actually a great addition because he looks like a Game of Thrones extra. He looks like he does not look like he's main cast. He's not that pretty to be main cast, but he looks like the person who would be like just cast as an extra or just as a bit part. Great to have him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran?
Yeah. Why did I catch that? That dopey looking redhead guy?
He's got a very recognizable face.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so did you think he wrote that song?
No. In the books, they have those songs.
Yes.
Do they have that song in the
book? I think that they were like, hey, professional singer, can you make this poem that George wrote sound good?
Actually, do you think they invited him, or do you think he was like, guys, I need to be on the show?
I think they probably invited him, because I think he was like, oh, look, a ginger weird-looking guy who would fit perfectly on this. He's weird-looking, too. I'm not saying I'm not weird-looking.
If anybody here tries to pretend like that is a good-looking man, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed Sheeran? Come on, guys.
No. Right. Beautiful, beautiful voice.
All right, guys. So let's get off Ed Sheeran. We got a lot to talk about
here. I'm just saying he was perfect in this. Because it would be weird. Perfect. What I'm saying is it would be weird if it's like, oh, hello, Justin Timberlake. That would be strange. But for him, he's like, oh, he kind of looks like
I'll just let you know that Braun is also a musician, a big old pop star. So Ed Sheeran's not the first one.
Yeah.
So we've got this group of Lannister soldiers that Arya comes across. And these guys are friggin' nice.
Yeah.
They're so nice. And I think
I think
this is a bit Arya kind of being like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm supposed to hate all the Lannisters. What's going on here? She's kind of having a little conflict here.
Kept showing their weapons to kind of give it the feel of that she's on her toes. You know, she's eyeballing. Yeah. And they're kind of catching her off guard with their kindness. And even me, when we were sitting there watching it was like, this isn't going to end well. They're talking about how they want to sleep with women, and then here one shows up, and they're like, oh, come by, sit by the fire. Yeah, this is perfect. Gary, come on, have some rabbit. I didn't think it was going to end well.
Oh, really? And I kind of thought they were nice guys. I thought they were maybe all going to die.
It took me a minute.
Yeah.
I thought maybe she was going to kill them, depending on what their response to, like, I'm gonna go kill the queen.
That's the line.
Yeah, if they were like, oh, maybe you shouldn't, then
because she's kind of a Lannister, and so maybe you should. But there was only two options. Either we take her seriously and have to, you know, we have to do our jobs, or just laugh it off.
Or take her seriously and be like, good luck, I hope you do it.
Yeah.
That's the third option. It's like, we really hate her.
So do you think they're gonna end up, we're gonna pick up with them kind of rolling together?
Nah, I think that's the last we're gonna see.
You think she's...
I think that was a nice little character moment where Arya got to visit with soldiers that were on the wrong side, that are on the opposite side to her, but she recognizes that there's humans that just, like, fight for people who are bigger than them. And that's just because what they say about why that one guy wants a girl instead of a guy.
Yeah.
Because a girl takes care of
their fathers
while the guys go off and fight other people's wars. That's exactly what they're saying about themselves, is we're fighting someone else's war. It's not us. This is just paying the bills. Right. So we have to do this. And I think Arya recognizes that, and in a way It's nice for Arya because she's the assassin. She doesn't fight people like that. She goes directly to the people she's assassinating.
Right.
So she doesn't have to be like Jon or even or the rest of them and kind of have to fight the soldiers to get to the bad guys. She goes directly to the bad guys.
She's also, a one-woman army.
Yeah.
They're all relatively young. And like we hear the Hound say when they ask him why he's always in a bad mood, and he says experience. So they don't have, you know, who knows if they've ever killed a man, that group of young guys. It doesn't seem like it.
I can't help but think about when was the last time she was in Westeros? It was during the War of the Five Kings, and she was walking around with the Hound, and everywhere they went, people were just slaughtering everybody, and soldiers were just killing everybody left and right. And so all of a sudden, now she's here back in Westeros, comes across some soldiers. It's like the spring. Oh, man. It's so much different than the last time she had come across the soldiers in Westeros.
Well, she can handle herself now. She came back a different person. You know, she walks up boldly and says, yeah, sure, I'll sit by your fire. Right. What are you going to do about it?
I love it. She is badass. Mm. But before we go any further, guys, I just wanted to give a shout out to the listeners and the viewers. Let them know who's sponsoring our show today.
Oh, you mean all these lights and microphones?
There we go. Guys, we got to pay the bill somehow. I mean, keep the lights on around here.
Hey, listen, we got to fight other people's wars. And this is the war we have to fight.
We are sponsored today by The Sinner, a new USA limited series, which follows a young mother, played by Jessica Biel.
Oh, I love her.
There you go. She's married to Justin Timberlake,
right? Yes, yeah, no, speaking of.
There you go. You already mentioned it already.
Yeah.
It's a story about, it starts off while she's at the beach with her husband and her son. She commits a startling act of violence, not unlike Arya Stark. But she can't explain it. She can't explain why she did this. There's a police investigator, and he's obsessed with uncovering her motive. And together they discover a violent and shocking secrets hidden in her past.
Tantalizing.
Cool. It's kind of looking at the shades of gray, kind of like we do in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
That little between the moral, like, lines.
Absolutely. I watched the trailer for this, and it looks intense. And if there's something Game of Thrones people know, it's intense.
Intensity.
But this series also stars Bill Pullman, everyone's favorite alien hunting president, right there, and Christopher Abbott. So
excellent from Girls, HBO's Girls. I'll check it out. The Sinner, USA, premieres Wednesday, August 2nd, 10, 9 Central on USA Network. Why not? Check it out. It's not a Sunday, so I'm in.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone knows she did it. No one knows why.
That's nice. Did you just make that up?
No.
That's really good. You gotta let them know about that. That's a really good tagline.
There you go.
Hey, it's based on a best-selling novel.
Of the same name.
Which means, you know, it's good. It's well thought out.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we love series based on books, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
So that we do.
The Sinner.
I love it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Check it out, guys. And now back to
Can I ask one question about Arya before we move
on? What's up?
Yeah.
So she says she's going to kill the queen. Do you guys who have not read the books, do you think she actually will?
Oh, we are beyond the books. I can answer.
We're beyond the books.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the only thing that's in the book that might stop it is that second half of the prophecy. Mm-hmm. That says a little different about, kind of hints at how her death will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the prophecy that witch woman gives her. That was cut out of the show. So that's not, that second half isn't there. So they're leaving her death kind of open to many different people. While it seems like there's a certain group of people that might kill her in the books because of how they set it up. So Arya is definitely open to killing her, especially since she's on the list right now that she still has.
It's a very short list now.
Yeah, it's getting shorter.
It's Gregor, Cersei.
Yeah.
Is that the whole list?
I think Sir Gregor has charmed his way off that list.
He is a charming man in his new suit of armor, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, sexy. We will get to that.
Yeah, well, that's the mountain. Yeah. We're talking about the other Gregor.
Gregor Clegane is the mountain. Sandor Clegane.
Yeah, we were talking about Sandor. We were talking about...
Oh, okay, okay.
I think when you said charming,
yes.
I'm getting all mixed up over here.
I meant the Hound.
I don't think Franken Mountain's charming anyone these days.
Maybe Cersei.
Anyway, I hope that Arya does kill Cersei. But for some reason, I don't think that she's going to be able to. I think she'll get there to do it. I think she'll be about to.
Right.
I think it'll be taken away from her, though.
I don't know. It feels like, shouldn't that be a Tyrion thing?
I think it's gonna be a Jamie thing.
Who's gonna kill
or
Cersei?
I think Cersei's gonna kill Jamie. I think everybody should just team up and
let's ask the chat. Who do they think is gonna kill Cersei? Or if she's gonna die at all. Maybe she'll win the Game of Thrones.
I think she's going to die at the end of this season.
Okay.
By someone's hand.
So while we're collecting answers for that, let's head up far, far north beyond the wall in a storm of snow and cold. We have the others.
Some cold fellas.
The Walking Dead.
And maybe 1-1?
We do, yeah. That was 1-1.
I don't think confirmation? No. I don't think it was 1-1 because...
I don't think so.
He's not the only giant there for one. There was at least two giants with the walkers, and I think we see his face. It doesn't look like 1-1 to me.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was. And I also think
I'd have to do a side by side comparison.
Aren't they much farther north on the wall? Because wasn't 1-1 killed south of the wall?
Yeah. Well, 1-1 was killed at Winterfell.
Yeah.
He was killed at Winterfell, so there's no way he's hanging out. Yeah, way up
you know
north.
What? You're right. They probably buried him or burned him down.
Yeah, there. They probably have someone probably took his skull. Anyways, but he's probably up there and making a suit of armor.
So not 1-1.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But we've got a few giants there. We got a lot of undead folks. We had to show them. They're coming. Winter's coming.
And it really is illustrated a point when they showed all that was, I'll hold my thought. What do you got?
I just wanted to say that the chat is coming up with some really great predictions for Cersei's death. Overwhelmingly, and this might be because I put it in their ear, they're saying Jaime. We also have a few people saying that Lady Olenna will kill her with a sand snake.
I like the idea
of an actual snake, or maybe just one of the young women who poisons people. And one of my favorite ones is Jaime will kill her as Arya will kill her as Jaime.
Oh.
I was like,
that's a good one.
Good one. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
on that boat. Yeah.
The one.
Who wrote that?
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, we need to give them a shout out if you find out who wrote that. Because
that is a good one.
That's what we're going with, for sure.
Cool.
That's a good one. I was just going to say, seeing that army of dead march up, it really made me realize, not just in that universe, but also ours, there are many more people who have died than who are alive.
Right.
So the army of dead is, they got the numbers.
You okay?
It just gets bigger, man.
You okay? Do you want to talk about this?
What's the point of it all?
The thing about the whole zombie thing, man, the weaker you get, the stronger they get, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it was a good... to touch base with them, so you kind of see the impending threat that's coming in from the north.
That little reminder.
Check in.
I love it. Yeah. So a little bit further south than them, but still up north, we have Bran arriving at Castle Black, and Dolores Ed saying, "Come on through, buddy."
That would fine.
Which is such a pivotal moment, because do you guys remember last season? The reason the Night King was able to get into the cave that they were in because the Night King touched him, gave him the mark on his wrist. And a lot of people theorize that now that Bran has crossed through the wall, that mark is what is going to let the Night King through.
Right. I do have to say, in this one episode, there's one phrase that kept coming up throughout the episode that's just like, well, the wall's still standing.
It definitely came up.
And it kept popping up enough. And it's like, and it's always stood, so no matter what, the wall's still standing. And I'm like, there's no way the wall is going to still be standing at the end of this season. I think that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There was a lot of that. But that was an important scene. It was a short scene, but I think it's important that Bran went through the wall, and they didn't mention anything about the mark, but I think they will.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Moving on from that, we'll go a little bit further south to Winterfell, where we have Jon saying, "Get the dragon glass.
Looking for that glass. Looking for that dragon glass. Getting that glass."
And Samwell was like, "I got the glass, guys." Yeah. And we were like, "Where have you been?"
He's looking cleaning in the library.
Liquid.
He's so surprisingly useful. I love him.
Sam's my favorite.
Oh, love it.
I was going to say, that's the grossest sequence I've ever seen. With Sam and those
pots.
You're
going to watch that later?
Oh, yeah. The highlight reel.
I love how rhythmic it got. It got the boom, bah, boom, 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 bah, boom. I kind of wanted it to be
turn into a pop song after a while. That was
good. I'm sure it will be shortly.
And Sharon!
Oh, I love it.
Winterfell.
You guys are like wrangling cats. I love it. I miss you guys. So
back to Winterfell.
We got Jon and Sansa, and Sansa's kind of like, I don't know, Jon. I think I got to step up here a little bit and say you're doing a little thing, some things wrong here.
You know, I'm so sick of Sansa's attitude. I know I'm going to be hated across the board for this, but
yes,
I don't,
you are.
I don't care, man. She's annoying me with her attitude. That's all I'm going to say.
Mad that the people who supported the guy that did such horrible things to her aren't being punished?
Yeah, but there's ways.
She's not wrong. She's just
totally
annoying.
She's not wrong. Yeah, she's just annoying. Like, same thing with battles past. She chooses to speak up at the most inopportune times, and then when she has the time to say what's on her mind, she doesn't. And it's just like,
not true anymore. I think she's saying what's on her mind whenever she feels it.
Right.
And I think right now, what would have been nice, I think what John would have appreciated more if it's like, hey, good speech. Can we talk for a little bit?
Can we go
to the next room? I just want to bring this up rather than being
recessed to my chamber for a second here. Let's talk about this.
Because he even said you demeaned me, and she said no, but I think she kind of did.
She kind of did.
She totally did.
So, I mean, if they're not a team, how is everyone else supposed to get behind them?
Right. They really have to seem like a team in public.
Yeah, I agree.
And what really bothered me was like, Sansa, look at how happy you're making Littlefinger here. Like, like, that should be a sign that you're not going down the right road if Littlefinger's like, yeah, that's my girl.
Smiling in the shadows.
Yeah, I think just be like, oh boy. Because it seems like she's...
Well, she wanted...
There's some puppeteering going on there.
She wanted to give one of those houses to Littlefinger, don't you think? I mean, she was saying she wanted to give one of the Umbers or the Karstarks homes to... The People houses that...
Jeez, Littlefinger has so many castles, or he's a lord of so many places right
is
now.
Is it the Vale?
The Harrenhal. There you go. He wants...
He doesn't need more.
So who do you think she was sticking up for? Specifically just anybody
else? I think
she
just didn't want it to go to families that have betrayed them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
While, like, John was just talking about how, well, this is a new generation, and I'm not going to hold up to...
their fathers.
Which, actually, I think is a smart decision, because that's how you breed... kind of revenge fantasies, and that's how you breed these like things of hate towards the Starks, because they've taken away my family home. This way they're like, okay,
so instead they're like, hey, he gave me my home, but he took away my family.
Because they fought for the wrong side. Yeah. I mean, what you gonna
do? It's not black and white, I know.
It's not black and white, but it's like I saw what he was doing and I think that's gonna
come back and bite him.
Maybe. I mean,
speaking of black and white, the chat is saying, did you notice that everyone's dressed in black this episode?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. I thought that was great. I thought it kind of showed
everyone.
Even Danny.
They're all mourning the phrase.
And it also showed that winter is here. And it's winter town. So it's cold. Everyone's wearing their winter wear. And it just kind of seems like everyone's getting
the
into
new
that
winter
battle
fashion.
Mood. Yeah, I love Daenerys' winter fashion.
There we go.
That's great.
Speaking of fashion, I mean, if you want to... Can we? We'll get to the Red Keep, but everyone's dressed in Lannister armor now. No more Kingsguard. No more. I haven't seen any. City.
Well, there's no more king.
No more church.
So there wouldn't be a Kingsguard because there's no king. There's just a queen.
It wouldn't be the Queensguard then? Or?
Yeah, I think that's what Mormont. I think that's what the Mountain is dressed up as. Yeah, well, Queensguard.
Well, the last time
he's
we saw
up in
these
Lannister,
guys,
Lannister
black.
Uniform.
He's dressed all in black.
Thought it was he had like the Lannister colors. No,
no, I thought black. It was all black, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was crimson. Crimson and
it
gold
was black,
is the
but
Lannister
she was in
colors.
Black too. I don't know, not a fashion show, not a but
well, but I loved. I mean, I just think he had that good look of like he just looked like a mountain monolith, and he felt like he was matching the queen, so it looked like he was definitely on the queen's side.
You guys are all in black except for me. Guess I get thrown in the end.
We got the
So then we get a letter from King's Landing announcing, Cersei announcing she is the queen and that the Starks have to come down and bend the knee.
Everyone does. Everyone must bend the knee
or else
suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
Take a time out from whatever you're doing.
Yeah,
come kneel.
Just come on up and
well,
say what's up.
This was interesting to see where Arya and Jon lie on that issue where Jon is like focused on the White Walkers and the fight above, while Sansa's keeping an eye on the politics of the situation, mm-hmm. and also Cersei in the south. Which is, I think it's good that they both do it, and if they can learn to work together and still do that, I think it'll be the best way to survive this.
Yeah.
Because if they're fighting just, you know, the dead and not keeping an eye on what Cersei's doing, that could come and bite them.
And it could hurt the dead fight, too, because if Cersei comes and defeats them, she's not prepared to fight the dead.
No.
So, come on.
She has an undead.
Yeah,
she does.
All her children are gone.
She's got one. I would like to see what Frankenmountain is like against the White Walkers, actually.
There you go. Give him a flame sword. Just take them all out.
Yeah.
Or dragonglass sword. Excuse me.
There you go.
I'm thinking the whites. The whites are fire. The others are dragonglass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fire we're coming up to fire, man.
So does Sansa admire Cersei? What'd you think about that, guys? Yeah. That line kind of stuck out to me a little bit there.
Yeah, she probably scared her a little bit that hit so close to home when Jon said it.
I think that was a dig for her comparing him to
Joffrey. Ooh, yeah.
He was like, yeah, you know, you seem to like her a lot. Like, he said that really subtly, like he believed it. He doesn't think she's evil.
Mm.
Yeah.
No. And she doesn't think he's Joffrey, but they took a dig at each other, didn't they?
Yeah. Cersei is like the most powerful woman in Sansa's life. So right. I think there is a side of like, you've taught me stuff. I think she probably like looks up to her a little bit to see what a woman can do with such power, but at the same time, she's evil as hell.
Yeah, because when she's not lying, when she's like, anybody who's ever gone up against Cersei, she is murdered. She's taken him out.
She understands the threat of Cersei, which is good.
Yeah.
And that's always true until it's not. Same with Ramsay Bolton. Anyone who went up against him, until it's not. So eventually.
Until that bloody woman.
So we got a little Tormund and Brienne there.
Oh, Tormund and Brienne.
I love how she really gave it to Podrick whenever Tormund showed up. I mean, what was that? Come on.
He hit her when she wasn't looking. She wasn't ready, and he just like hits her.
I also love the Tormunds. You're a lucky man. It's like, I would love to be hit by her. They're my favorite couple of all TV. They're the next Ross and Rachel.
They're so not going to end up.
They're already a couple, too.
Yeah, they're
I love it.
I don't know if they're actually... They're not a couple.
Oh, yeah. They are to us.
To us, they are. We just... They're not, but, you know, they haven't actually gotten
together. The chat is saying Lady Mormont versus Cersei.
Yeah, well, all right.
I don't think anybody could beat Lady Mormont.
We just skipped over Lady Mormont, but she was amazing in this episode. Ugh. She's my favorite. She's awesome.
She turns everybody from, hey, screw this guy, to King of the North!
Yeah.
After like one little speech. Oh, yeah. She's like...
She can emasculate any Lord of the North.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm not gonna give a sword to my daughter, and then she's like, you what? And then I'm like, oh no, Lady Mama, I forgot you're a little girl as well.
She's like, the North is feminist, don't you forget it? And everyone's like, yes, okay.
You got it.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
I love it. So, speaking of Cersei, she's getting her floor painted.
Interior decorator
at the Red Keep.
We got this awesome map of Westeros painting on the floor, and gives us sort of like a little geography lesson about Westeros here.
I like that because it was also kind of her Dragonstone table. Like, it showed that she wants to be on the same game as Daenerys. When we kind of touch in with Daenerys, who's looking at the table at the end, this is kind of a nice piece in the beginning because it looks like these opposing queens.
Yeah, but she's, you can see how she sees the world totally beneath her. She stands on it. I mean, the symbolism there was huge. And that scene where she finally confronts her brother, or brother confronts her, was super powerful because you don't know how it's going to go. I've heard people theorize that Jaime was going to be the one to kill Cersei. Like, did you see the way he looked at her in the last season?
He's nervous.
He is, but I feel like that was finally, that tension was broken, and I think he's still on her side. Because as soon as he said, Dragonstone, it was clear that he had made his decision. He still stands by her. She's all he has.
I don't agree.
That's the way it is.
I think there's still tension there. I think there's still tension.
Well, there's still tension, because but he made his choice.
I think also, I think he did make a choice to stick with her, but I think there's a chance that he can flip still.
Because totally.
He is like kind of, he's lost his moral rudder in a lot of ways, and I think the only thing he has to hold on to is Cersei. But I think once he kind of opens his eyes a little bit and looks around, he might end up changing his mind.
He's always chosen Tyrion over Cersei. Mm-hmm. That's always been his choice. I can't see him going back on that now. And he sees how mad she is, that she was living her entire life for her children. They're all dead now.
Right.
And she's so easily let it go, it seems.
Yeah.
I love that we're the last Lannisters. We're the last ones that matter.
You only count the ones still standing.
Well, think about what Cersei did. Why did Jaime kill the Mad King? Because he was going to blow up the city with wildfire. He walks in, and what did his sister do? Mm-hmm. Blew up part of the city with wildfire.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
he's a little late.
The thing he's been carrying around his whole life, the Kingslayer, has been because of what his sister just did.
You're absolutely right.
That's a great point.
He even said at one point, I'm sure, in the series, I'll burn them all to the ground until there's nothing left in this world but me and you.
For you.
So, I mean,
if anyone could cause Jaime to go crazy, it would be Cersei.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that she's there. I can see the similarities, and I can see how it could go that way because he's growing a conscience. Brianna Tarth, we've seen him, you know, with acts of kindness towards her and towards Tyrion, and he has other things in the world that ties him down. But do you think he's gonna kill? I don't think he's gonna kill her. I think he made a choice to stand by her.
I really enjoyed the scene of the map on the floor because she subtly said, oh, we're having this made now because it's time for us to rule our enemies above us, below us, to the north. And he starts quoting things that he learned in school, that they both have this entire map of Westeros memorized.
Yeah, they know it.
They don't need it.
Yeah.
They learned from their father, not from school, because the father was grooming them to kind of take over all of Westeros.
Yeah.
That was creepy.
So we have Jaime kind of giving Cersei the, this isn't going to be as easy as you think it is. This is, we don't have any friends anymore. What are we going to do?
Right.
And they sort of come up with a plan, or she comes up with a plan, or somebody comes up with a plan to get Euron Greyjoy.
Mm. Those ships look great.
How did they build that fleet so damn quickly? They don't have any trees.
There's no trees on the
Iron Islands. This makes no sense. This is a suspend belief here for some.
They go in and they take the trees. And
they're like, and they even mention it in this episode. They're like, I think Euron mentions, he's like, our island has nothing but ugly people and stones. And it's like, well, how'd you build all these goddamn boats?
Yeah, they stole them. Obviously.
And he also says, this is the largest fleet that Westeros has ever seen.
He could be lying.
How did he get that?
He could be lying.
Anyway.
He could be lying. Because we might be seeing what's left of the fleet, but there could have been a lot more that was taken away by, you know, by the rest of the
Well, I think they took the whole fleet that was there. They had to start fresh. If I remember correctly. Yeah.
So they probably became pirates and kind of stole a lot of
Did you think that if he wasn't the largest fleet in Westeros that he would admit that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think he's lying, and I think he's saying, we definitely are.
Well, he never exaggerates.
I don't think every man who proposes to a woman exaggerates what they have to offer.
I don't think he did. I mean, think about, he does say, so here I am with 1,000 ships and 2 good hands. But he has 1,000 ships, and I don't think it's something he can lie about. Because
I think he did.
He brought them.
They're not going to count. They're also, didn't bring everything.
Like, Cersei's not going to have somebody count the ships.
I don't think so. Because they think that, they didn't even say.
If some guy brought an army to the Red Keep, they would probably want to know how many men there were. They always want to know.
I'm just saying there's a chance he's lying about how many ships he has. And I think he can probably maintain that lie because it's like, oh, here are 50 ships, but the rest are back home.
Yeah.
Two truths, one lie. He was like, I have 2 hands. That's the truth. Yeah. I have 1,000 ships. Right. That's the lie.
So Cersei sends him away, and he says he's not going to come back until he brings her this gift.
Mm-hmm. Another gift.
What's the gift, guys?
Well, I think Amber was suggesting it was Tyrion, which I completely agree with and don't want to steal from her.
I do. My first fear is that he wants to give Cersei what no one else can give her, and that is her brother who betrayed her.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he can't take Dany.
Right.
But he can grab an imp, he thinks, I'm sure.
Because who else? It would be either Tyrion or probably Sansa. Probably one
Sansa
of the two.
Sansa seems like so old at this point.
You think it's a person, then?
You think he's got a dragon riding on Iron Island somewhere?
That was just my first thought.
No, I think it's going to be Tyrion. I think he's still going to be alive.
I think it's going to be the head of a dragon.
He could try to take a dragon.
Yeah.
You think he ever found a dragon in his travels anywhere?
But he could try to take one of their dragons.
I would be bored with that, by the way.
You don't want
the
more dragons?
The chat is saying the gift would be the sand snakes.
Yeah, also the sand snakes, the Dorne.
I just don't see the sand snakes working for Cersei.
Definitely
I want it to be a really good gift.
One of the north.
I don't know. The sand snakes killed her daughter. So, like, bringing her the head of the sand snakes, or even that the lead sand snake there.
So it's got to be either
the
north you have the Starks, the east you have Daenerys, the south you have Dorne, and to the west you have Highgarden. So it's going to be, I think, relating to one of those four directions.
All right.
Well, does he want a yes or no? So it's got to be Tyrion, probably, if he wants to marry her. And then do we get another wedding?
Another wedding.
She won't. If she marries a man, he becomes king. Right?
Yeah, that would be a bad choice.
That's... I don't think she would do that.
She would probably lead him king, on or something, and then kill him or something.
Probably kill him, take his ships.
Yeah.
Possibly. Right. So we got some ideas there. Time will tell.
Can I ask one question? Jamie seems very unmotivated. He says, why should we do this? You're the ruler of maybe 3 kingdoms, not 7 right now. You know, our children's not here. What's our dynasty? Like, why are we doing this? It seems like he doesn't really have the motivation to fight this army anyway.
And he also wants to focus on the fact that it's winter and people are starving to death, which we see later.
The chat is saying that he is going to bring the horn that is used to control dragons in the books.
Possibly.
I think that is a good theory.
Yeah.
Ooh. So
also a good gift.
So let's head over to the Brotherhood Without Banners, heading around with the Hound. And we're finally getting sort of a visual that winter is indeed in Westeros here. It's finally somewhere that's snowing, that is south of the Wall.
Mm-hmm. The best part about this scene is we now have a film clip talking about top knots that we can play to every guy in Silver Lake, Los Angeles right now.
You're not fooling anyone.
It was also a burn on bald guys.
It was, but I feel like bald guys are, like, comfortable with their baldness.
Well, it's people trying to hide nuts. It.
Yeah.
For the record,
nobody wants to be bald.
I like top knots, though, for the record.
You have to have a certain amount of confidence.
There we go.
To pull it off.
That is the first time I have ever heard those words.
You're welcome.
Stated.
Yeah, you pretty much, like, the whole room was silent there for a second.
Top nuts, hit me up at Sam Anderson.
Unless you're wearing... If you're wearing a samurai outfit, you're good with the top knot. If you're not, you gotta cut it off.
So we come across this house that the Hound obviously recognizes. It's been a little while since he's been here, guys.
Do you recognize it?
I don't know.
Recognize it. Did you?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, and they showed it in the previously on Game of Thrones before the episode.
Yeah, I was. I did not see the previously on, but
it
was the when Arya and the Hound were together. They came across this place, and the old man and his daughter, or the man and his daughter, fed them, and then the Hound just robbed them,
robbed their silver,
and didn't he? Did he hurt the man? I can't remember.
He hit him in the head.
He hit him in the head and just took it. Did he take his gold and his food? I can't remember, but he definitely robbed him.
But even like taking anything from them and finding them starved is like. You killed them.
He killed them.
Well, back then, he knew that was their fate, and he didn't care. Right. He knew.
That's why
he
said they don't have anything.
Yeah, dead men don't need silver, is what he said. And now it's just more evidence that he's grown a conscience, and now he has a bigger, better, more noble part to play in this story.
Great, that's a good catch.
This was sad. Sorry to boil that down to a little.
No, I mean that made sense.
Sad, but
I did think it was like, wow, he's being especially noble right now, which is strange for him.
I thought that at first too. I was like, oh, he doesn't want to bother anybody.
Right.
Like he's already messed with people before. He's over that. But then they went in there, and I was like, oh wait,
it was his conscience. Yeah.
And
I didn't even really see it as noble. Like, him burying the bodies, like, what good does that do? The only thing that does is, it has
it's
nothing
respect.
To do with them. No, he's doing it to make himself feel better because he's feeling bad.
Oh, yes.
He's really just like, God, I have this conscience now. He's trying to,
but when I didn't recognize, I didn't recognize the place, so, like, to me it was like, wow, he's being very noble. He's just like finding
just
bodies
and
burying them because he believes that they should be. But the idea that they're connected to it makes a lot more sense. And it humanizes him a lot more because it's like, oh, he feels bad for himself. And he's trying to make
And you can see into the flames now. So now he's on board.
That was also important.
For a purpose. The first time that he's ever really had a purpose other than Arya, really.
So he found the Seven. Now he's finding the Lord of Light. What is going on here?
Yeah, and it's interesting that like he even brings it up. I hate that I'm dealing with flame worshippers. The guy who's most afraid of flames.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
should have seen that coming.
Yeah. I
forgot about that.
Yeah, and he's scared to death of fire because of his burns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing that he sees in the fire sounds exactly like the castle that Jon is talking about.
Which we forgot to mention, he sent Tormund and the wildlings to Eastwatch by the Sea.
So it sounds like he's predicting this assault on Eastwatch by the Sea, which might be coming up.
Which we've all talked about. I mean, when we had that Hardhome episode and we saw them in the water and everything, I know we were debating. We were like, looks like they can swim. Why don't they just go around the wall? Well, it looks like that's going to be happening. Now that Bran has gone through, the wall sort of has lost its magic, maybe, with that mark. Now they can just swim around since they can't climb over. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of coming together there.
See, that's what I'm saying. If there's a wall and there's the edge to the wall, I'm going to go around the edge. It's the easiest way to go, right?
Absolutely.
Instead of going through it, you just go around.
A lot of people believe that like the wall's always kind of melting and refreezing, and that the melted wall was in that water, and that's what prevented them from just going around the wall.
Oh. Okay. Interesting. It would be nice if they actually say that, rather than have that be a fan theory.
Well, we definitely have Benjen in the previous episode who goes, there's old spells written into the wall. That's why I can't go through.
Yep. Yeah.
So thinking of that's melted through. But, so he sees the wall, he sees an arrowhead-shaped mountain, and he sees the dead marching past.
Yeah, do we know what that arrowhead-shaped mountain is? I can't
Not entirely sure off the top of my head.
If anyone in the chat has any idea of what that could be, let us know.
Oh, they will know.
Yeah. what could be?
The arrowhead-shaped mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then we go to Old Town. You mentioned this nice...
I forgot what was happening. All those liquids, they all look the same.
That would be awesome. Samwell wasn't gross.
It's Samwell's edition of Stomp, now on Broadway.
So Sam is... He's
cleaning.
Yeah, he's doing the dirty work, literally, at the Citadel. You know, he's working his way up. He's got to start at the bottom. He's cleaning. He's scrubbing out everything.
We don't have time for this, though.
And but he notices there is a book behind a gate in a restricted area. And he goes and he's talking to the Archmaester, who I'm not sure if we have a name for yet, except
he's
for Archmaester.
Actually Archmaester Marwyn, because I looked him up on IMDb, because I was like, I love that actor. I love Jim Broadbent, and I wanted to make sure I knew who that was.
Marwyn.
And it was great to have him there.
Absolutely.
And so Archmaester Marwyn is that character.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they said it in the episode, but Marwyn. Got it. Awesome. So he believes Sam and Sam's story about the others being in the north, where most people think he's crazy. But at the same time, what you were saying earlier, Dave, is that everybody's like, the wall stood through all this bad stuff. It's going to stand through this. Don't worry about it.
Climate change. Climate change.
He's a climate change denier, this Archmaester.
What's funny
the
on the other end of that coin?
Mountain is Blaggenstone, the birthplace of the children.
Oh, great. Mm. Thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you, chat.
Blaggenstone?
Blaggenstone.
That's Blaggenstone. A name.
Blaggenstone.
Blaggenstone. Okay. Awesome.
Grumpkins and Snarks.
So he believes him, and then we get the Archmaester saying it's just going to stand, and...
Yeah, he believes that the dead are coming, but it's not a big deal, which is kind of incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's his point of view.
He works with the dead all the time. Yeah. He doesn't seem to face
him. I thought it was cool how they illustrated how they're all scientists. He even says, we doubt everything. It's our job. I mean, they're supposed to not believe people when they say stuff until they provide proof, some kind of evidence. I wanted to touch on something, though. I don't know if you were about to, but when Sam sees the book in the restricted area.
Absolutely.
And he sees it's an open book, and there's an illustration in it. And I noticed something that looked celestial, almost like it would be a solar or lunar eclipse. And I think that's going to play a role. It looked like an eclipse of some kind, whether it's going to be lunar, like a blood moon, or a solar eclipse that either gives more power to the Night King, or takes away power from the dragons. I don't know,
maybe
but
it's a season.
An eclipse It could be a season. It looked
could be seasons too. Yeah,
it could be seasons.
It could be about the winters.
You know what? Yeah, to explain the winters.
A lot of celestial stuff. We had, but it looked, we had the comet in season two. We've had some other stuff. So, yeah. Who knows?
Something celestial, I think, is going to play a role. Good catch.
And those light fixtures in the library, you know, are those celestial things at the top of the show.
I love Old Town because it kind of showed that Sam went there to gain information right away, but he showed up to this place that's moving in slow motion.
Yes.
It's moving, so he had to start at the very bottom.
Yeah, he's
he can't
a pledge.
Just become a master, like Maester Edoray.
He's pledging.
So he also sees in the book that the Mountain of Dragonglass is at Dragonstone.
Yeah.
Didn't we all know that already?
I mean, you would think.
If people I knew that too.
Doesn't everybody know that?
Like, but Dragonstone has been so irrelevant for so long. It's like us talking about, you know, hey, do you have your copper chisel so I can, you know, it's like, no, what are you talking about? Like, use a power tool. Like, people don't use primitive stones anymore. So.
Yeah, but if I know it's at the cop, if it's at the Copper Mountain, Copper Still Island over there, like, I think I'll know where it is.
I love it. I love it. Point. So at the end there, he's sort of going through the sick ward prison thing?
Quarantine.
Contagious people. Quarantine. We get something that subtitles ruined for us. But
Come on, subtitles.
Come on.
So, here's the thing. When you watch subtitles, it says who says each title. So we saw Jorah before we saw
Eddie. I was so surprised. I guess I wasn't
I was surprised by the name Jorah.
Yeah. No, but like when I heard his voice, that was the first time that I realized it was him. Like, I guess I wasn't paying attention to the closed caption.
Yeah. So last we saw Jorah, it was Daenerys was saying, I command you to find the cure.
Yes. So where does he go to find the cure but like
the science headquarters?
The Citadel. The Citadel. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Seems like the best place.
Makes sense.
So he is there, and he is asking if she has arrived yet. Cut to Daenerys.
Who has arrived.
Who is arriving at Dragonstone.
But wait, do you guys think Sam's going to help Jorah hear him?
I mean, maybe. I think he's kind of more concerned about the Walking Dead right now.
Who did Shireen tell? We had a little talk about curing or stopping stuff with Shireen, Grayscale.
Stannis' daughter.
Sam wasn't part of that.
Yeah, that was part of the Red Woman
and
Shireen,
And I'm trying to remember who was involved in those conversations.
So Sam might at least be able to tell Jorah
somebody
about
has stopped it.
That someone has stopped it previously.
Because they were at the wall before Sam left.
So Sam knows her at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is interesting.
Anyway, I think it's going to happen. We need more Jorah.
I think what might end up happening is because of that, Jorah might go to meet up with the Red Woman up on by the wall.
Well, actually, she left. Jon kicked her out.
She's exiled.
So she's heading south, so we don't know where she is at the moment.
Maybe they'll meet up.
We'll find her. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Daenerys arrives on Dragonstone next to what looked like a mountain of dragonglass to me.
I just love... Dragonstone looks so cool because even the rocks look like scales.
Yeah,
it had a nice little. It's got
the sheen.
That's
the dragonglass rocks, right? Because so many years of the dragons breathing on those rocks turned it
all.
Into...
Well, it's underneath. I think there's like a mine of dragonglass, so it's probably volcanic.
Popping
I think
out
it's like
bit.
Volcanic glass type of thing.
Right.
I don't think it's actually made from dragons.
Obsidian to the geological enthusiast.
You started off sounding smart.
I know, right? to the rock guy.
So you guys were talking a little bit afterwards. You had a problem with her just walking into Dragonstone, huh?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I did.
I kind of did because, like, all right, here we go. We have this big old castle that's completely abandoned. Why isn't there at least, like, some homeless people in there? Like, where is everybody? Like, nobody's there. Stannis left nobody behind. Nobody knew that Stannis' army was defeated and that Dragonstone was completely unmanned.
It's not a very welcoming place.
Right.
It's cold. I saw it differently. I felt like I felt like this was Daenerys' homecoming. She gets there. Touching everything.
She loved it.
She's
putting
the fan between her hands.
Tyrion loved
she
it, too,
does
he
not.
Loves dragons.
Sit in the throne.
She
averts her eyes because she realizes, I think immediately, this isn't the goal. I'm not really home, and I didn't conquer anything. It's
I'm going to sit till the job's done.
Yeah. Now it begins.
She'll
probably sit
next
week. Now.
That was like a test of ego. Mm-hmm. She was like, no, this isn't right yet.
Correct. She was scoping out. She was tearing down the old Stannis banner, the flaming heart.
How cool was that table that, like, stone table.
That table is beautiful.
In the shape of Westeros.
It is in the shape of Westeros, because that's what Stannis used previous too. So we
also need that table as well as the floor. Yeah.
So this is where her ancestors landed. I'm sorry, King's Landing is where they landed. This is their home.
Yeah,
right.
She was
their
born
old
there.
Ancestral
she
home.
Was born there.
So she's back, and this is pretty cool to her. So it's going to be neat. And now she is sitting atop the power that Jon and all the North wants.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So interesting things will happen, which I guess can lead us into some predictions for next week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Basically, what's going about? Can we hit that? Can we hit those predictions?
And now you're after Buzz TV.
Prediction.
Dragonglass. No, the queen is here. Who is going to side with her? Who is not going to side with her? What do you guys think is going on?
Well, one thing that we saw in the next week that we're pretty excited for is a certain wolf might be coming back.
Woo!
And do you want to talk about this? Why don't you talk about it? Because you were super excited about it.
My dire wolf. Might be back.
Yeah.
Nymeria.
Nymeria. It looks like the wolf that's in the next week on is gray or brownish, grayish-brownish. So isn't Ghost.
Ghost is white with red
Ghost
eyes.
Ghost is white. Mm-hmm. So I think this is another dire wolf.
We don't know what happened to Ghost, right?
Probably Arya's wolf, right?
We're hoping it's Arya's wolf, because Arya's wolf Nymeria has been going around Westeros and is a big part of the books.
For those of you who haven't read the books, that is a big part of the books, is Nymeria rounding up other wolves and wreaking havoc.
Yeah, becoming kind of the queen of the wolves. So, and Arya is around the place where Nymeria would be, so it would be great if they meet up.
And it looks like that scene where the wolf is barking for like a second, that Arya is the
That's an editing
that.
Trick right there.
I know,
there.
But
editing
it looked like it's
trick.
Like snow. Like, it could be the same
right.
area.
The editors are like,
my hopes are
mess
very
right
high
here.
Now.
Yeah.
Very high.
That was
I
the
feel
biggest,
like they're
going to
crush me, but they're very high now.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, it seemed like in the previews where it's all going to be about where the lines are drawn. Who's going to side with who and where and how it's going to happen. So,
and Cersei's only calling Daenerys the Mad King's daughter. She's not calling her by all the other names that we've heard through the other seasons.
I think Arya's going to travel with that band of merry men for a while.
Sing some songs.
Their faces were too distinct to be forgotten too soon.
They're going different places.
Also, I don't think they can afford Ed for that long. That's my prediction.
I like it. Solid prediction.
Yeah, she did take a look at their swords.
You know, it'd be nice if they just dropped them off at Hot Pie's place and just like keep on going.
Yeah.
Well, I think no matter what, Cersei's going down this season. I think we can all agree with that.
This season, you think?
Yeah.
This season?
I mean,
I don't know.
She's the enemy, so if we lose her, like, I'll kind of be sad, because I feel like she's the main villain at this point, who I hate more than everyone else.
Except for the Night King.
So if you're right. So if we lose her, then we don't have the main villain who I hate.
Well, it seems like this season will be the battle for control of the throne, and the next season will be the battle with the others, possibly. So, who knows? Mm. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV after show.
Yes. I'm going to go watch that episode again.
It is great to be
good
back,
over?
Everybody. I guess so.
Kill everyone! Game of Thrones episode!
There we go.
Oh my gosh. That was a real knife.
Yeah. For those listening, she just threw a dagger.
Awesome. Awesome. We are excited it's back. We're glad you guys are back here with us. Make sure that you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, click that like button, click that subscribe button. Make sure you follow along with us all season. We'll be here every week for six more weeks.
Of winter.
Awesome. My name's Kyle Matic. You can find me at Kyle Matic on Twitter.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. I'm Dave Child.
Valador Harris. I'm Ryan Malady. You can find me at Ryan Malady everywhere.
I am your chat maester. My name is Amber Plaster. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster. Thanks for being here.
I love it.
Awesome.
Join us next week for some more slaying.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
But not today.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.